Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. In this episode, I want to talk to you about interest rates. Now, interest rates are a really useful tool that is used by central banks all across the world for a number of different reasons. And over the course of the last 2 years, we've seen interest rates used in two completely different ways. When the COVID-19 pandemic struck all across the world in 2020, we saw central banks reducing interest rates to virtually zero in order to try to stimulate growth. They wanted people to go out and spend money. They wanted people to have more money in their pocket. So reducing the cost of borrowing to virtually nothing helped to do that. It also helped to stimulate borrowing. So people were encouraged to take on mortgages. And we saw the property market take off in most countries all across the globe. But over the course of the last 8 or 9 months, since Russia's invasion of Ukraine, we've seen interest rate policies change. And the main reason for this is that we've got really high rates of inflation in a lot of countries now, partly as a result of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, which drove up the price of oil and a variety of other commodities, and partly as a result of the increase in demand that we saw when the COVID lockdown restrictions were released. So interest rates have now started to move upwards. And in November, we've seen some of the biggest interest rate movements that have ever been recorded. So in today's video, we'll have a look at exactly what happened in November. We'll have a look at how the number and the size of interest rate movements in November compares to what's been happening over the course of the last 20 years for the top 10 traded currencies in the world. And we'll also have a look at what the top 10 traded currencies in the world are. So you'll be able to check out where countries such as India, China, and Russia are ranking. We'll then have a look at what's been going on with regards to emerging economies. We'll talk about the implications of all of these interest rate movements for the global economy. And then finally, I'll wrap up today with my summary. So what I think is likely to happen with interest rates over the course of the next 3 to 6 months, and what the implications of that are for the global economy. So before we get into all of that, I just wanted to remind you that I always include chapters. So if you don't have time to watch this whole video, you can pick and choose the parts that you'd like to have a look at. If you'd like to give me a thumbs up, that would be great. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below. November 2022 was one of the most active months that's ever been seen on record for movements in interest rates from central banks. 7 of the G20, which are the 20 biggest economies in the world, increased their interest rates during the month. And 4 of those, the USA, the UK, Mexico, and South Africa, applied a 75 basis point increase, which for a lot of those countries was the biggest interest rate move that we've ever seen. And the main reason that we didn't see more interest rate increases in November was that 7 of the economies didn't have any meeting at all during the month. And that included the Eurozone, which covers countries such as France, Germany, Italy, and the Netherlands. And whilst we're on the topic of interest rates, I thought it was worth sharing this table, which shows the current official rate of interest in each country in the G20. And as usual, I've ranked this from the highest rate of interest through to the lowest rate. So you can see that the official rate of interest in Argentina is currently 75%, which is unbelievably high, and really reflects the fact that Argentina has seen a complete collapse in its economy. The next highest rate of interest is Brazil, which is sitting at 13.75%, followed by Mexico at 10%, Turkey at 9%, and Turkey's actually been reducing its interest rate over the course of the last few months, even though inflation is currently sitting at 86%. Russia's at 7.5%, South Africa 7%, India 5.9%, Indonesia 5.25%, Saudi Arabia 4.5%, USA 4%, Canada 3.75%, China 3.65%, South Korea 3.25%, the UK 3%, Australia 2.85%, Singapore 2.65%, the Eurozone 2%, Switzerland 0.5%, and Japan minus 0.1%. Which obviously is slightly counterintuitive. How can you have a negative interest rate? Well, the main reason for that is that Japan has suffered from the opposite of the rest of the world. It's actually had deflation for a long period of time. And as a result, the central bank is trying to stimulate the economy. It's trying to get people to take money out of the bank rather than hold it in their savings accounts. They're trying to get people to spend money to get the economy moving. And so it's discouraging people from leaving money in the bank. So as you can see from these figures, there is a massive spread in terms of what the official rate of interest is in all of the countries of the G20. We've got Japan right down at the bottom, which actually has a negative interest rate of 0.1%, right through to Argentina, which is charging 75%. And one of the reasons for the big spread of interest rates relates to what's going on with regards to inflation. And at the moment, some commentators are using a rule of thumb and saying that your interest rate should be at least equal to your rate of inflation, which I don't entirely buy into because economics is a lot more complicated than that. There are so many different moving parts. But it is interesting to have a quick look at what the rate of inflation is compared to the interest rate in some of those key economies. So if we start off with the USA, the current interest rate is 4% compared to an inflation rate of 7.7%. So if you are following that logic that interest rates should be increased to the point where it matches inflation, that would indicate that interest rates would virtually need to double from where they are now. Now, obviously, as you raise interest rates, it should bring inflation back down. So there is probably a middle ground where the two would meet. And if you were looking between 4 and 8%, then that middle ground would settle at around 6%. So I'm not saying that interest rates are going to 6% in the USA, but this is the rule of thumb analysis that a lot of people are looking at right now. And if we look at the UK, inflation is currently 11.1%, interest rates are at 3%. So if you were taking a middle ground between the two, you would say that interest rates have to go to 7% in order to bring inflation down to 7%. So that, as a rule of thumb, could be where the interest rate ends up in the UK. Inflation in Canada is currently running at 6.9% compared with the interest rate of 3.75%. So as a middle ground, you'd be looking at 5.5%. And in Australia, we've got 7.3% inflation and 2.85% interest rates. So again, you'd be looking at somewhere in the region of 5%. So as I just said, I'm not saying that this is a forecast of what's going to happen, but I thought it was just a fun piece of analysis to look at the difference between what's going on with inflation and interest rates. Because at the moment, the main driver behind the increase in interest rates is to bring inflation down. And the target rate of inflation in a lot of economies is actually 2%. So theoretically, you should keep increasing interest rates until the inflation gets to 2%. So that would indicate that interest rates would need to go higher than the figures that I just mentioned. Now, in a moment, we're going to have a look at what's been going on with interest rates in November in the countries that have the top 10 traded currencies in the world. But before we do that, I thought it was useful to have a look at what those top 10 traded currencies actually are. This chart shows the 25 most traded currencies, shows the actual amount of turnover and also the percentage. And one thing to note here, which is very unusual, is that the percentages quoted here are measured against a total percentage of 200%. Now, normally when we're working on percentages, we work to 100%, which keeps it very simple for everybody. And the reason that we've got 200% here is that when you're doing a currency trade, there are always two currencies involved. So if you're trading the US dollar against the British pound, for example, that means that both of those currencies are involved in that trade. One is on the sell side and one is on the buy side. And for the purposes of this table, that is measured as one trade involving two currencies. So therefore, both the US dollar and the British pound would get a percentage share. And therefore, the percentages shown are out of 200%. So if you wanted to reduce it to 100%, you would divide the figures by two. So what you can see from this chart is that the US dollar is the most traded currency in the world, with the share out of 200% of 87.62%, or if we're measuring this in a normal fashion, the share would be somewhere in the region of 44% of all trades involve the US dollar. The euro is the next most traded currency and has a market share in traditional measures of around 16%. The Japanese yen comes in third, followed by the British pound, the Australian dollar, the Canadian dollar, the Swiss franc, the Chinese yuan, the Swedish krona, and the Mexican peso comes in at number 10. In terms of the rest of the countries on this list, the ones that I wanted to highlight are the Turkish lira, which comes in at number 16, the Indian rupee, number 17, and the Russian ruble at number 18. And each one of those currencies represents less than 1% of all currency that's traded worldwide. And jumping back to the top of this chart, the top 10 currencies represent 178% of all deals done worldwide. That's on a 200% basis, which represents more than 89% of all currency trades. And the reason that we're looking at traded currencies is that obviously this has a big bearing on global trade. And the official rate of interest in a country will have a direct influence on the strength of that currency. Generally, when interest rates are rising in an economy, that will attract in more investment. Money will move towards those higher rates. And the opposite happens when you're cutting rates. If you're reducing your rates, then generally speaking, that will make your currency less attractive and will usually reduce the value. This chart shows the number of interest rate increases and decreases for the top 10 traded currencies dating back to 2004. And this is measured on a monthly basis. The blue bar charts above the zero line show interest rate increases, and the orange bar charts below the line show interest rate cuts. So if we focus firstly on what's been going on in 2022 at the far right-hand side of this chart, you can see that all of the interest rate movements have been increases, and the trend is very much a strong increase in the number of interest rate increases over the course of the 11 months to November 2022. And as you can see, out of the 10 most traded currencies, there were 6 interest rate increases in November. And if we compare this to what's been happening over the course of the last 18 years, you can see that interest rates have moved in cycles, and this will relate directly to what's going on in the global economy. So back at the start of this period, we saw interest rate cuts, and then between 2004 and 2008, there was a period of prolonged interest rate increases, and that corresponded to general growth in the economy. It was a boom time. And then we had the global financial crisis, which struck in 2008, and that led to interest rate cuts all around the world as we went into recession. Central banks wanted to stimulate those economies. They wanted to try to help the countries to grow back out of this situation and to relieve the pressure on all companies and people that had debt. So we saw a lot of interest rate cuts. And between 2010 and the start of 2020, we experienced normal cyclical movements of small amounts of increases followed by small amounts of decreases. However, in 2020, as the global pandemic kicked in, we saw interest rates cut in most of the economies. And then there was very little movement for 12 months or so until we started to see the recent increases. And this chart records the actual size of the interest rate movements for the top 10 traded currencies. So if we look at 2022 to start with, you can see that we've got a large blue section here, which indicates that we've seen a lot of interest rate increases. And these increases have been significant. You can see that in November, between the top 10 traded currencies, there was a collective increase of 350 basis points. So in real money terms, that's 3.5% increase in interest rates. And when you compare that to what's been going on over the course of the last 18 years, you can see that those increases are the most material that we have ever seen. The blue sections on the rest of this graph are relatively small because in the main, central banks like to increase interest rates gradually. So what we're seeing right now is very unusual and really only compares to the interest rate cuts that were seen after the global financial crisis in 2008. If you look at the orange section at that time, there was a large cut in interest rates for these economies. And that was really to address the fact that we were going into a very deep recession. Everything had fallen off a cliff. Liquidity was out of the window. We were in a crisis situation. And if you look at the situation that's happening right now, we've got a crisis in reverse, driven by inflation. So central banks are now desperately trying to reduce the high levels of inflation. And that's why we're seeing interest rate movements that have never been seen at any time in the past 20 years. As I've mentioned 100 million times before, the whole of the world is interrelated from an economic perspective. So what's happening with the most developed countries is also having an impact on emerging and developing economies. This chart shows the monthly count of interest rate movements, both positive and negative, for a variety of emerging and developing economies dating back to January 2020. And the economies that are included in these statistics are Brazil, China, Indonesia, India, South Korea, Mexico, Russia, South Africa, Turkey, Thailand, Malaysia, the Philippines, Israel, Czech Republic, Hungary, Poland, Colombia, and Chile. And this chart shows that on the whole, what's happening in emerging and developing economies is exactly the same as what's been happening in all of those developed countries. So back in 2020, when the COVID pandemic was kicking in, we saw a high number of interest rate cuts. However, over the course of the last 12 months or so, we have seen most of those economies now increasing their interest rates. And of course, the two outliers here, as we've covered before on the channel, are Turkey and Russia, both of whom have been reducing their interest rates over the course of the last few months, despite the fact that they both have high levels of inflation. And this chart shows the size of the interest rate movements that the emerging and developing economies have been introducing. And you can see that the scale is much greater here. It actually goes up to 1,500 basis points, which represents 15% increases. And you can see that in November, the cumulative interest rate increases were 400 basis points for these economies. And there was also a 150 basis point cut, which relates directly to the cut that was introduced by Turkey. So what we're seeing here is exactly the same trend that we're seeing for the developed countries, albeit some of the rate increases are dramatically higher than we're seeing in some of the other economies. So what are the implications of these movements in interest rates for the global economy? Well, as I've mentioned before on the channel, the reason that central banks introduce interest rate increases is to try to calm demand down. They are trying to rebalance what's going on with regards to prices. And the main reason that prices are going up is because demand is outstripping supply. And when you have that situation, simple economics tells you that you will see an increase in prices. So central banks are trying to make things more expensive, and by doing so, hope that demand starts to fall and therefore prices come back down. And the reason that it becomes more expensive is that firstly, if you're a new borrower, if you're looking to move house or buy a car using a loan or just borrow some money on credit cards or through your overdraft, then increasing the interest rate means that the cost of all of that borrowing will go up immediately. So that will discourage you from doing that. You may decide not to move house or not to buy a new car or not to take out a loan just to go on holiday or something like that. It also impacts on anybody that either doesn't have a fixed rate. So if you have a floating rate mortgage or a floating rate loan, which quite often is credit card borrowing, or if your rate is about to end. So if you're coming to the end of your lock-in period and you're now having to agree a new rate, it's likely that you'll have to pay significantly more. So anybody who's in those circumstances will then have to pay more in terms of their debt payments, and therefore will have less disposable income and you're less likely to spend. And the same applies to companies. If you have borrowing that's on a floating rate, once the rate of interest increases, that will increase your monthly payments. Therefore, your company will make less profit, which means it will have less cash to reinvest into the economy, and therefore everything starts to slow down. And that's one of the problems that I wanted to highlight here. Whilst raising interest rates does bring inflation back down, it also reduces your economy. It reduces the amount of money that's being spent, and therefore the multiplier effect will reduce. And this is a concept we've discussed before on the channel. If I go to a store and I spend $1, that dollar then goes into the till. The company that owns that store makes more profit. It can then pay its employees more. They can then go to other stores and spend their dollars, and so it goes on. But if I don't go and spend that dollar, then that store doesn't make that sale. It has less profit and therefore won't pay its employees more. And so you get a contraction. And that's likely to happen. As we see these interest rates being hiked, it's likely that we will see economies slowing down. And the sheer number and size of rate increases that we've seen over the course of the last 8 or 9 months is going to accelerate that slowdown. So this is why I'm talking about a potential global recession occurring in 2023, because we've had a period where everybody was outspending. We saw a real boom in demand and that drove up prices. And everybody's now trying to put the brakes on. The central banks are rapidly increasing rates. And the problem with pulling the brakes on too hard is that you can get an emergency stop in the economy. And that's potentially what we're heading for, a major slowdown, which is going to be very, very difficult to reverse because you can't then just start reducing rates again because prices are likely to still be high. So it's a real rock and a hard place for the central banks, this. They've got inflation as their number one target, but the problem with solving inflation is that it could cause a massive global recession. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because November was a remarkable month in terms of the number of interest rate increases and the size of interest rate increases. As I mentioned earlier, the USA, the UK, South Africa, and Mexico all introduced a 75 basis point increase in the month of November. That movement represents a significant percentage increase in the total cost of borrowing. If you've got a loan that's on a floating rate right now, you'll be seeing your payments increasing dramatically. And nobody's ready for this. This is going to be a real shock to society. And unfortunately, it doesn't end here because inflation is still out of control in most economies. It still needs to come back down to somewhere around the target rate. And realistically, the central banks are not going to get close to those target rates until the end of 23, maybe the start of 2024. So it's likely that over the course of the next 3 to 6 months, we're going to see a lot more rate increases. It might be that we slow these rate increases down. So the Fed is now talking maybe 25 basis points or 50 basis point increase for the next round. But nobody really knows what's going to happen until we see the latest statistics. Inflation did come down in the US, so that indicates that things are working. But that doesn't mean that it's going to keep coming down. It could easily bounce back up. The Ukraine war is still going on. We're still seeing a lot of volatility in terms of prices. Now, the price of oil has come down, and that's helped everybody globally because oil is a big influence on the price of everything because it's used for transport, it's used in a lot of production, and everybody needs to buy it. So as the price of oil comes down, that is definitely going to improve the situation. But it doesn't mean that the price of oil will keep coming down forever. The oil price cap has just been introduced against Russia, which should help to reduce prices. But Russia has come out categorically and said that it will refuse to supply any country that signs up to the oil price cap. Now, if it does that, then that would lead to a shortage globally because Russian oil supplies are included in the total global supplies. So if Russia suddenly did say, we're no longer going to sell any of our oil, we're going to burn it or do something else with it rather than giving it to anybody, then that potentially would drive the price of oil back up again overnight. And that would cause major problems for inflation and mean that we would have to go back to bigger interest rate increases. So nothing is certain right now. And that's part of the problem we have, is that we've still got a lot of movement in prices, we've still got a lot of volatility, and so nobody really knows what's going to happen over the course of the next 12 months. Until this war in Ukraine ends, we don't really have any certainty and any visibility as to when we can get back to normal. But what we do know is that the interest rate increases that have been brought in November will have an impact on all of those economies over the course of the next 3 to 6 months. It will slow things down. It will make things more expensive. It will mean people have got less money to spend. And so that increase will contribute to a slowdown in all of those economies. And of course, these interest rate increases in November are on top of all the previous rate increases. So we've got a cumulative impact. It's starting to build up for consumers and companies. So we're definitely seeing economies slowing down, and that's going to have a global impact. We're going to see a global slowdown guaranteed in 2023. The big question is, how many countries will go into recession, and when is that going to happen? Russia and the UK are already in recession, and it's likely that we will see multiple other countries announcing recessions as they release their figures for the end of December. So the first part of 2023, I'm expecting that we will have lots more countries in recession. I think we may be moving towards the peak of recession in the midpoint of 2023, and then hopefully we'll be into a period of recovery for the global economy. But really, it depends on what's happening in Ukraine and whether or not we have any more global shocks. So hopefully you found today's episode useful, informative, and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up. And thank you so much for watching this video all the way through to the end.